All right, church. We are on our way through the book of James. And we have a minor technical difficulty, and that's okay. We're on our way through the book of James. And we are finishing up chapter 4 today. So we will be in chapter 4 in verses 13 through 17. What we have done is we've just started walking verse by verse through this book of James. And James is a pastor, and James is a teacher, and James is a stable, wise member of the Christian community, and the people have been scattered from Jerusalem, and they are setting up churches on the corners of streets in their locations and in homes, and they're reaching out to their community, and James is trying to give them some encouragement. But what we have found is that James is also pretty straightforward, that James is like, hey, I'm going to encourage you, but I'm going to do that, all right? I'm going to do that by saying, this is how you live, and this isn't how you live. And James is harking back to, all right, he's harking back to two very solid places, all right? And one of them is the Sermon on the Mount. There is a whole lot of what James is saying that you can go back to Jesus' message on the side of the mountain there and look and go, this is how what Jesus was saying to us translates to what we're going through now. And what we've been finding as a church is that as we walk our way through this, all right, James is saying, this is what you are going through now. All right, so if we look at the 13th, at the fourth chapter of James, we're going to start in verse 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this city or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, make money. Why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if this is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. If this is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. Now I want you to listen, because that's where we're going to end up landing, and that's the part we're not going to like. Any of you who knows what you ought to do, and we will get there in context of the three verses prior, and does not do it, listen, sins. So if you know what you're supposed to do and you choose, for whatever reason, not to do that something, in context of the three verses prior, it is sinful. And I say that contrasting what we look at sin normally. All right, thank you, sir. What we look at normally is, if you do something wrong, you sin, okay? We go, hey, he stole, that's a sin. Hey, he adulterized. Hey, he murdered. Hey, he lied. That's how we see sin. You broke the rule. And James is going, that oversimplifies the issue of sin in and of itself. It oversimplifies the issue that we have in our relationship with God. And that is, if you are in a relationship with God and he whispers in your ear that you ought to hand a hamburger over and you don't hand the hamburger over, it's a sin. Craig, it's that simple? It's absolutely that simple. We've oversimplified the simple. I know that's hard to understand, but that's what we've done, all right? We've broken it down. We've oversimplified something simple and we've messed it up. Not that you should murder. That's not what I'm saying, all right? I'm saying, we like to brush off things that make us feel guilty, things that make us feel like we haven't done enough, because this world's heavy enough as it is. My life's heavy enough as it is. My spouse is heavy enough as it is. My job is heavy enough as it is. And if any of y'all are saying your spouses are heavy, that's not what I said at all. It was emotional, had nothing to do with the weight of any of our spouses anywhere. Let's just be clear, all right? All right? So looking in context, nice save. I heard you. All right. So let's overcome one initial obstacle here. All right. At first reading, hey, you who say today or tomorrow I'm going to go to this city or that city, spend a year, carry on there. All right. And then you do that. Why would you even do that? Why would you do that? You can't control. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow, okay? So right on the surface, this is, hey, Johnny Ray, I've got this buddy of mine, and he's got this internship because he doesn't like what he's doing. He's got an internship in Chicago. He's decided he's going to go give that field a go, and he's got an apartment set up for him, and he's going to live there a year and see what's going on. Any problem there? I mean, you might miss the guy, but he's planning ahead. He's trying something new. Is James talking about that? No. No. But if you take no, James is not talking about that, and stop there, you haven't done yourself, God, or the passage any justice at all. Why is he going? Has he sought the Lord in his going? Has he asked God if Chicago's the city he's going to need to be in, or if Rio de Janeiro is the city he's supposed to be in? And the bigger issue for us down the road is going to get injuncted right here, is if he is supposed to go to Rio and God lets him know, will he still go to Chicago? If he has made plans to go to Chicago and God diverts to Rio, do you go where God wants or where you plan? That's the rub. You got it? You got it? Second thing. God wants us to have a good concept. James wants us to have a really good concept of who we are. You're awesome. You're wonderful. You're his creature. You're his creation. And you must look at the next verse in context of God loves you. He wants the best for you. You are his child. You are his greatest creation. But you missed. And I don't mean M-I-S-S-E-D, you missed something. I mean you missed. M-I-S-T. That's all you are. Craig, what are you talking about? All right, I like to make soup. I make a lot of soup, all right? Right now on my stove, there is a beef broth that has been boiling for about 16 hours now. It will be yum, all right, when we choose to drink it. It will have taken in all the nutrients. Well, if I have to put a hot pad and a coffee cup over this particular pot because it steams up and boils and then it shakes and then it spits out on my floor all night long, all right, and I don't like that. So I got to weight it down a little bit. But if you walk from the bedroom into the kitchen, I leave the light and the fan on, there's this vapor that's coming out. Now, if that vapor, okay, while it was together with all of its other vapor friends in the pot, started talking to its vapor friends about the travels that it would make around my home. It's going to make its way out of the pot, and then it's going to go see my baby in her bedroom, up the stairs, around the corner, over and through, into the back bedroom, and then it's going to check out the office where the door it's ever open, and then it's going to come back down and check out the TV because it's never seen a TV before. What would you think about the arrogance of that particular piece of mist? Because that mist is actually going to come out of the pot, and then it's going to go and be gone. Do you get the analogy here? And Dad's like, nope, I don't understand. Listen, you see that vapor coming from my bedroom, come out of the pot, and then what happens to that particular vapor? It disappears. It's gone forever. For it to sit inside the pot and plan where it's going to be, how it's going to be, when it's going to get there is foolishness. In God's time frame, in God's expanse, in God's sovereignty, you are nothing but a vapor. And the days of your life are the same length as that steam appears. And the arrogance that we have of planning all that's going on outside of his infinite wisdom is just as stupid as the arrogance of those vapors, if they could speak to one another, talking about all the plans they would have. That, listen, they have no control. Oh, boy, y'all just lit up, didn't you? Everybody's like, oh. Now, you have to decide now if you're really like, I'm learning something about God, or if you're like, man, I'm nothing. Because that's a little bit out of context, all right? But now you get, that's what James meant. There is a massive amount of arrogance involved in our pre-planning anything. I started by saying what I said because nobody is preaching against planning ahead. That's not what's going on here. Nobody is preaching against the Boy Scouts and their motto, to be prepared. Nobody is saying, live your life on a whimsy. No, because James goes on to say, you don't know what will happen tomorrow. Why? Because God is in control. God is The word is sovereign. God is completely and utterly sovereign. And I don't think that I give enough credence to the magnitude of what sovereignty means. We talk about it. We say it. We sing songs about it. But do you understand what it means? We've hinted at it through this book because we talk about God already knowing what's going on 100 years that way and God already knowing what's going on 100 years that way. But even to say it like that is foolish because God doesn't just know what's going on 100 years from now. He's in 100 years from now. God doesn't just know what happened 100 years ago. Right this moment, for some ununderstandable way, very good word, all right, he's there too, all right? And he is what we call sovereign. Well, according to Merriam-Webster, this is what sovereign means. Supreme power. Unmatched, unovercomable power. It is supreme. There is nothing that rises above the power of God. Freedom from external control. You don't turn it up or turn it down. You don't make it more or less. And I struggle with this today. I struggle with this today because there was a song that I used to sing when praise courses were just coming out called More Love, More Power. It's an older song, More Love, More Power, More of You in My Wife, in My Life, and I Will Worship You with All My Heart. Well, I heard a song on the radio just the other day, and it was a repetitive song, and it was like, all we want in our life is more of you. Now, I want you to hear me. Great song, encouraging song, theologically messed up. Some of you are listening to that song going, I love that song. My children sang that song. I taught that song. Am I a sinner? No, listen to me. Theologically, that's messed up. Why? Because God can't give you any more of him. He gave you him. It's not about whether or not all of him are there. It's about whether or not you access in what it is you have. You can live in a really, 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 really big house, and it can be your house, but you can never go into 99 of the rooms. That's where the theology really needs to come in. You can't get any more of God's grace. You can't get any more of God's love. Oh, old song. She used to sing it all the time. It's totally like churches. Oh, I'm moved by this song. Oh, do you still feel the nails every time I fail? Theological nightmare. The idea is that every time we screw up, Jesus needs to die again as if there's more that he has to do. There is no more. Listen to me. The Bible's clear. It is, yeah, finished. It is finished. Listen, and if you're God, if you're God, all right, one of my favorite phrases of all time, there is a God and you ain't him, all right, one of the things I learned in youth ministry a long time ago, one of the best things, there is a God and you're not him. Okay, yes. Teach me more, okay, because that guy's awesome. And so here's the thing. If you're God, though, and it is finished, before he started, guess what? It was finished. When he was in B.C., by our timeline, he was already in A.D. because he is. So it was finished. It is finished. It's going to be finished. It never wasn't finished. Why? Because I am, I did, I was, I is. It just is. Sovereignty, nothing is supreme over him. Nothing is out of his control. Nothing has a controlling influence over him. Nothing. Nothing has a controlling influence over God. And that sovereignty, according to John Piper, is driven by two things. More than two, but two we can break it down to. His infinite wisdom, which means there is a knowledge and a spirit and a power that is above everything else, that is guiding him in everything. His sovereignty is guided by unmatched wisdom. And it is guided by his justice and his mercy in a way that we cannot even fathom. Complete justice and complete mercy in a way that we can't even fathom. And those two things drive us, drive him, who in turn should be driving us, to one goal. Bring glory to the one worthy to be glorified. That's it. To bring glory to the one deserving to to be glorified. So everything that God does in his infinite wisdom, in his sovereignty, drives toward glorification of the one worthy of being glorified, himself. And so James is going, now that we've got not a complete, but a better understanding of all that, why would you plan anything without him? Why would you give anything without him? Why would you purchase anything without him? Why would you go anywhere without asking him? Let me show you from a biblical perspective, because that's what we really need, what I'm talking about here. Job 42:2. I know that you can do what? All things. Some things? Things you want? Things you can or can't? No. I know that you can do all. And no purpose. Ready? No purpose of yours can be thwarted. Listen to me. When God says all things work together for the good of those who love him and according to his purpose, we like to run that all over the place. But here it is. There's nothing you can do or say, sin or not sin, kiss me on the cheek or kill me, that is not going to be used to do exactly what I intended to have done the whole time. No plan of God's can be thwarted. Daniel, all of the people of the earth regarded as nothing. He does as he pleases with the powers of heaven and the peoples of earth. No one can hold back his hand or question him, is a better way to say this in the Hebrew, or question him, what have you done? With the implication that there is something wrong. God has no wrong in him. Isaiah, remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God, and there is no other. I am God. There is none like me. In Ephesians, if the Old Testament's not enough for you, you new gospel people, in him we were chosen, predestined according to the plan of him who works everything out in conformity. Woo! Takes everything and it is conformed into the purposes of his will. Proverbs, in their hearts, humans plan their course. James is harking back to wisdom, but the Lord establishes their steps. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purposes that prevail. And my favorite from the Psalm, our God is in heaven. He does whatever he wants. Our God is in heaven, and what he wants to do, it get done. This is just a few of many biblical looks at sovereignty. So the question then becomes, as we back up to what ought be done, instead of pre-planning everything as if there is some control that you actually have over it, why don't the people who believe, not the people who don't believe, that's one of our problems in the church. We expect people who don't know Jesus to act like they know Jesus. But God expects the people who know him to get to know him better, to continue to know him, to study, to show themselves approved, to learn about things like sovereignty, and for it to change them. When you've been in church and been in his presence, you need to walk away from here in some way changed. So we're into the what am I going to change part of the message this morning. Listen, instead you ought to say, instead of what you've been doing, he's what you ought to be doing if it is the Lord's will. Oh, now here's the thing. Here's the thing. You can't make it a phrase. Like the southern phrase, bless her heart. Because that is not what you mean. You are not calling down the abundant blessings of your heavenly Father into the heart of that person. You know it, and I know it. Somebody trips and falls down the steps. Oh, bless her heart. What you mean is, dang, woman clumsy. So we don't need to go, oh, you know what? Like right now, I'm going to be honest with y'all. Right now, one of the desires that are working in my heart right now is last spring, Jamie and I took a trip. We took an adult trip to Disney World, okay? We went and did Universal Studios and Disney without the children. I love my children. I loved doing it with my children as far as Disney and stuff go. But we went, all right, and I've gotten to do a lot of things. Thank you, Jesus, for the cruises I've gotten to be on and the resorts I've gotten to stay in and those kind of things. But I'm going to tell you, that week was one of my favorites ever. We played and we pottered and wandered and we safaried and we ate and I did that last spring. And so whatever's inside us that makes that happen, we booked through this company called Undercover Tourist, which I would absolutely recommend. And I get the emails and they didn't even faze me till about a month ago. And then all of a sudden, Universal and then new ride, Hagrid's ride and the hall and I got an itch. All right, I got an itch. There's something I want to do. I want to go back to Disney. I love you, Tyler, and I want to go with her. So I'm trying to withhold that because there's no free ones. I can't find it. I can't find the deal online where you can go for free. I'm looking, and when I find it, we'll go. But till then, I'm going to have to save or something, all right? But listen, it is not good for me to go if it's God's will. Disney's in our future. You with me? It's not a phrase to be added on to what it is you want to do. That's my point. And you all are all like, dang it, you know? My dad, dang it, dang it, dang it. All right? That's not what we do. I'm not teaching you anything if I go, put on your spiritual frocks. Fold your hands, sit with your pastor, and if it is God's will, you may purchase that television. If it is God's will, you may purchase those tickets to the football game. If it is God's will, you may go on this vacation. If it is God's will, we sound like saints. You've missed it. What James means is, hey, the guy that's already at Disney in April of this year, why don't you ask him if you're supposed to be there? The one that's already seen the cruise that you want to go on, the one that's already seen the person you're supposed to carry to the hospital because they're going to fall in that month where you're somewhere you want to be and you didn't check in with God to see where he had you. If it's God's will, is a lifestyle and not a phrase. Am I in step with God's will? It harkens back, look at me using a Christmas word, it harkens back to his call to us to begin with, which is what? Get saved? No. Get churched? No. It's a two-word invitation to do what? Anybody? Follow me. And I tell you every time I say it, it's like a little boy in the snow. If daddy takes a step, you are just jumping in that next step. If daddy takes a step, you're jumping in that next boot print. That's our job. That James is saying, hey, footsteps of Jesus that make the pathway go, we will follow the steps of Jesus where'er they go. That's it. Don't be so arrogant as to look so far ahead and be somewhere and not say, not my will but yours be done. I don't want to embarrass him, but Chuck's sitting right here, and he taught me something that I've used before, and it's going to help us understand now. We're going to put this in perspective, all right? When we're talking about our giving, all right, one of the things we talk about is, hey, if you're not giving, you're not doing it right. God has already asked you to do that, okay? And then becomes the discipleship process of understanding how little or how much you are to give. And some of us get a nice whisper, a nice heart tug. For me, how it happens is I can't do online. The reason I can't do online is because it happens while I'm writing the check. I can't finish writing the check if I'm writing it for less than it ought to be. It's super weird, all right? We had a few extra things that came in this week, so I couldn't write the normal check. I had to write, you know, whatever it was going to be. And so I was like, well, this is, you know, I add it up on the calculator. I look at the number, I divide by 10, and then I add a little to a round number because that's me. I can't, it's got to be round. It can't be 26. It's got to be 30. It can't be 22. It's got to be 25. I can't do it. So I'm writing it, and I'm writing it for the next rounding up, and God's like, psst, no. Okay, 80. 90. 100. But you see, I don't know what it is for you, all right? Well, Craig, what if God's not telling us? Okay, divide by 10 and write it down. Well, Craig, what if I don't feel good about that? Listen to me. And this is what Chuck taught me a while back. Here's what he said. He said, you need to give God enough so that he knows that at any time he can have the rest. How does that play into our plans? It doesn't just play into your plans, it plays into everything. Here's what I mean. You make plans to go to Disney in April. You pay for the plans to go to Disney in April. And through a series of events, it becomes absolutely clear to you that God needs you to be in Arkansas in April. And God says, I know where you plan to be, but I need you in Arkansas. If you go to Disney, is it a sin? Yes. If God asks you to give 15 and you give 5, is it a sin? Yes. If God wants you at church and you decide to go to a hockey game, is it a sin? Well, Craig, how do I know if God wants me to? Ask him. It's not a phrase. It's a lifestyle. Well, how do I know until I get close enough? Ask me. Well, wait, do you want that responsibility? Church, I don't want or not want it. Guess what my responsibility is? According to the same Bible, guess what my responsibility is? You! And what it is you are doing, and whether or not you are sinning. Well, you don't get to call what I'm doing a sin. I didn't. God just did. I know. Thank you for the affirmation, though. Until you're there, that's my job. Well, what if we don't like what you say? Come on, if you've ever sat in my office, what if you don't like what I say? You go ahead and do your thing. I am going to treat you the same. I am going to do my best not to let the human side of me go, I told you so, when it falls all over the place. And guess what? If you do what I say and it's wrong, I answer to God for it. Period. That's in the scripture too. That's why you don't want to be an elder. That's why you don't want to be a pastor, because it falls on you. How you guide your family, fathers, falls on you, not on your bride. She will never be asked at the pearly gates how well she did. Falls on you. Own it. Pastor, falls on me. Doesn't fall on you. Falls on me. I'm owning it right here with you. Well, I thought you were just telling me that to get me the numbers up. I thought you were just telling me that to get the finances up. I thought you were just telling me that to, you know, run me off. Of course, because that's why I came, to be an accountant and an attendance taker and do roll call. No! I came to love you, serve you, and bring you closer to Jesus. And God will hold me accountable for the things that I do and don't do in regards to that. So here's what I'm saying today. It's time to give. It's time to serve. It's time to love. It's time to buy. It's time to go. It's time to be in the world and not of the world. Listen, following in the footsteps of Jesus by asking him for every minute of every hour of every day in everything that you do, whether in word or deed, if what you're doing is for the glory of God. Don't be so arrogant. Well, I'm not arrogant. I'm just living my life. Don't be so arrogant that you think it's your life and you have control over it. Don't be so arrogant as to think that if God didn't want to, when you walk out this door, he could strike you down in whatever way he feels like it. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow's got enough stuff. What am I going to do now? Well, are you called to be His or called to be yours? That's where you start. Is what I'm doing bringing glory to God today? And is what I'm planning bringing glory to God tomorrow? That's how you choose. That is what James is asking for. He's asking for the wisdom for you to understand and comprehend the sovereignty of God, the tininess of you, and the awesomeness of the love that connects the two, and how He knows the plans He has for you, and they're way better than anything you could do for yourself. Believe that. Let's pray. God, it is an intense responsibility for us to just be responsible for our own lives and our own finances and our own time schedules and our own, then add in families and then our own small group and communities and neighbors and then our own church. And God, it gets overwhelming and for us to even think that is overwhelming when we have you is not only arrogant but foolish. Because you orchestrate and you coordinate things beyond the expanse of time and space. There's not a star that falls from the sky that you don't control. There's not a sand that washes across the beach, not a grain that you don't control. And for us to talk about our tiny little worlds and our tiny little circles and the things that we have to do and to get done and to make happen and to cause, and you just laugh and you just weep over our lack of understanding. And you whisper through your words, through your teachers, through each other, I got this. I got this. Nothing can thwart my plans, and I love you. God, help us live in that this week. That overwhelming, never-ending, amazing, powerful love that you have for us. Thank you for Pastor James. Thank you for the wisdom that he found in your Proverbs, that he found in your sermons, and that he shared with your church. In Jesus' name, amen.